one more, I guess.
The Economic Development and Housing Budget Division for Monday, March 9th will come to order. Got a full house today, so behave, members, okay? And Senator Rest, you have a very good lead-in to one of our other bills here, so you might as well go first and let us know about the Mighty Ducks appropriation here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 778 is a proposal to renew the Mighty Ducks grants. The legislature created an ice arena task force in 1994, as some of you may remember, which in 1995 identified more than 90 Minnesota communities or schools that were in need of indoor ice facilities. The legislature then appropriated funds annually beginning in 1995 for an ambitious program to leverage local money for facilities to support ice sports in Minnesota. Over $18 million was awarded to help communities build new ice facilities, producing a net gain of 61 new sheets of ice statewide. The commission made the last grant in July of 2004. One of my communities was a recipient of a grant, $250,000 grant in 1999, New Hope, and it was able, with that grant, to construct a second sheet of ice at the arena, which since that time has been a regional for the suburban areas, metro area of that I represent in the western side of the metro area, has been a recreational asset for many communities and many young people. What the bill does is, as I mentioned, is to reinstitute that program with a grant program for new facilities, this time not exceeding $400,000, and grants for rehabilitation and renovation not to exceed $200,000, as we can well imagine, and the whole grant amount that would, with your endorsement, go forward to the Capital Investment Committee would be for $6 million. Mr. Chairman, I have the Mayor of New Hope and City Council Member Steve Elder here to make some brief testimony and have some brief testimony. And we also have Mr. Joel Carlson, who is a member of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission, a commission I once served on as well, here to answer questions or give additional background. Mr. Chairman, may I bring my mayor up?
You can bring up anybody you want, Matt, okay. Senator Rest. All three of them if you want. All three if you want.
Mr. Elder?
Are there enough chairs there?
And
or you can grab one.
Yes, and then we have someone from a recreational association, too.
Senator Rest, will this be the Rest Arena then, or how will this work?
No, but Mr. Chairman, I'm a baseball fan.
Oh, well, in that case we won't name the arena after you. Senator Phoebe, though, maybe, you never know.
Mr. Chairman, I would invite my mayor to make brief comments.
Mayor Hemken, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Kathy Hemken, I'm the mayor of Minnesota. The arena was built in 1975, and it's a regional asset that serves hockey players from New Hope, as well as cities of Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park, Crystal, Golden Valley, Plymouth, and Robbinsdale. It provides the home ice for the Robbinsdale School District's hockey teams. It's also the arena that's been home to the youth hockey associations for many years and continues to work closely with Armstrong Cooper Hockey Association. This program is for both boys and girls who live within the seven cities located in our school district, which is 281. The ice arena provides ice time priority, storage areas, locker rooms, meeting space to the local schools and youth association. The facility also serves the local figure skaters. The New Hope Figure Skating School provides instructions for skaters of ages 3 to adults. And the community room at the arena also hosts recreational programs, including the New Hope Dance Program, and other community groups. Of course, these programs also serve families in many cities other than in New Hope. The New Hope Ice Arena facility is 34 years old. The outdated cooling system of the original North Sheet of Ice is nearing its life cycle, and the City of New Hope is seeking help in paying for the estimated $1.5 million to replace the aging ice refrigeration and the dehumidification system. In addition, the remodeling of the arena's community room, replacement of the roof, and other projects also need to be addressed in the near future. The 2009 Mighty Ducks grant would greatly help the community toward the goal of covering the cost of these needed projects.
Who wants to go next?
Good afternoon. My name is John Elder. I'm a councilman for the City of New Hope. The New Hope Community Ice Arena is kind of a misleading name. Whereas it's in New Hope, it serves far more than the community of New Hope. The 2008 numbers substantiate that. 411 registrations for skating lessons, 1,740 people attending open skating, just under 1,200 registrants for the open dance program, which is held in the community room in the same building. And the annual estimated attendance at the ice arena is in excess of 100,000 people in 2008 alone. Our youth hockey program is comprised of 475 youth spanning from over seven cities and two high schools. The building is host to such prestigious hockey tournaments as the Nike Bauer Classic and the Minnesota High School Elite Hockey Association. As a DARE officer, I preached positive alternatives to our youth, alternatives that kept children away from drugs and out of trouble. That is what this building is to so many youth in the northwest suburbs. As you can see, this building is far more than a community asset to the City of New Hope. It is a gathering place that builds community in the entire northwest metro area. Thank you for your consideration.
Mr. Chairman, we have one more testifier, but I would just submit that the experience that you've heard from my mayor and council member would be echoed across the state for those communities that were able to compete for, these are competitive grants, compete for a Mighty Ducks grant in order to either build or renovate a sheet of ice in their community.
And Senator Resch, you know, Mayor, back in the days when Senator Metzen and I played hockey, our cooling system were pre-global warming, and so all they did was open the door. that was the cooling system.
Back in the early
30s? Back in the early
30s,
yeah.
we were a little more sophisticated than that. 1830?
32 for him, 38 for me.
And Senator Metzen, aren't you the original author of Mighty Ducks? So.
Thank you.
This has been a very successful program. It's been used very well statewide and has helped out a real lot of kids being able to, who didn't have the opportunity to actually get into covered rinks with artificial ice and cooling plants and all the rest of the things. So it's time to re-up the money, I think. Who wants to go next?
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you very much. My name is Bo Carlson, and I actually represent the Minnesota Recreation and Park Association. We are the professional organization that is made up of park and rec professionals throughout the state of Minnesota. We represent over 300 park and rec professionals and park and rec departments throughout the state. And I will keep my comments very brief, but reiterate a lot of the comments that Senator Rest and the mayor have made today about the importance of great facilities for our communities and creating healthy alternatives for our children. The Park and Rec Association was a recipient of these grants a number of years ago, and we certainly applaud the efforts of Senator Rest to revive this program and have continued opportunities to expand areas for kids to play hockey, kids to ice skate, and all the other community programs that facilities like this support. A lot of our park and rec departments are facing needed rehabilitation for those systems and those facilities, as well as opportunities to expand and meet the growing demand for new and improved facilities. So again, we certainly support this effort and hope that it can be successful. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Carlson, do you need to say anything? Or
Always, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Joel Carlson. I'm a member of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission and here on behalf of the commission to lend support to New Hope and to this initiative of Senator Ress. I also represent on a volunteer basis Minnesota Hockey. And Minnesota Hockey is the largest youth hockey organization in the country, which is significant in its own right. But more importantly, or equally important, Minnesota has the largest girls hockey program in the country. And for households, there are over 55,000 households in Minnesota participating in Minnesota hockey. It's a significant part of our heritage here in the state. The Mighty Ducks grant program was the most successful state grant program that we're aware of with Representative Milbert and Senator Metzen. That $18 million that the state invested leveraged over $122 million dollars of non-state sources into these arenas, constructing 61 arenas and rehabbing 74 others. And we have a list of at least 30 communities, including one that's going to talk to you here shortly, that have made inquiries to the Amateur Sports Commission that are planning arenas and that would be actively competing for the grant money. And we're ready at the commission to start that process up again. What a great time to hear it. This is the week of the state high school hockey tournament, and my alma mater, Moorhead Spuds, are in the tournament. And so this couldn't be a better time for you guys to approve the Mighty Ducks grant. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, are there any questions or comments about this?
Okay.
Spuds. Mr. Carlson, was that your cell phone that was?
I don't think so, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any further comments by anybody? Okay, if not, Senator Metzen moves to lay this over for possible inclusion in the bonding recommendation of the bonding committee. So, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, very much.
We're going to Senator Ingebretson has graciously said that he doesn't mind waiting, and so Senator Moi has a couple of bills up in another committee also. So we're going to have her come up and do her bill, Senate File 868, and then we'll get to Senator Phobian next. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I am honored to present to you Senate File 868, which is the Asian Pacific Culture Center. This is a bill that has been around for as long as I've been here in the Senate. It was the request for this, the center, the bonding request for the center had gone through the full Senate, was part of the bonding package, and was vetoed by Governor Ventura. We've been working on this, the construction of this culture center for such a long time. It finally was included in the bonding bill last cycle, and it was yet again vetoed by Governor Pawlenty. The Asian Pacific Culture Center is, and I know that many of you in this committee, including the chair, has had an opportunity to tour the future home of the Asian Pacific Culture Center last winter. And I think that most of the people who've seen the location, which is going to be on the east side of St. Paul, that was never how it was planned. But I'm glad that that is where the decision has been made to locate it, on the east side of St. Paul. I think that since the inception of this project, there's always been two challenges. One primary challenge, and then one of the second challenge. One of the challenges is, particularly for this legislative session, is how shovel-ready is this project? And I have somebody here who will speak to that. But one of the primary challenges that has faced this project from its inception has been how relevant is an Asian Pacific Culture Center regionally and statewide? Why should it matter to Minnesotans? After all, I am Asian American. I'm presenting on a bill that's for the Asian Pacific Culture Center. It's going to be in St. Paul on the east side of St. Paul. And so I just want to take a couple minutes to let those of you on the committee and the people who have been paying attention to this bill know that you shouldn't be fooled by the fact that an Asian American legislator is presenting a bill on the Asian Pacific Culture Center. Granted, there are over 40 communities of Asian Americans with ancestry from all over Asia living in Minnesota. But when the Asian Pacific Culture Center is constructed, it will become not only a statewide but a regionally significant culture and art center for all of Minnesotans as well as for those states who are our neighbors. The closest center of Asian American art and culture is in Chicago. And once this culture center is constructed, it will be a one of a kind, not only for our state, but all across this region. When people think about Asian Americans, they tend to think about people who look like me and maybe my husband and our two children. But what often people don't think about are all those Asian American children who have been adopted by non-Asian families who live in the state of Minnesota. More importantly than that, when the Asian Pacific Culture Center is established, it will become, to those of us in Minnesota, like the Science Museum or the Children's Museum, a place where all Minnesotans can come to and see it as a resource. Increasingly in this state, we have recognized the significance of having a relationship with Asian cultures. In the last several years alone, our governor has taken two trips overseas, both two trade missions, one to India and one to China. And because of the significance of and the importance of what we recognize in establishing that relationship, we have given general fund dollars to establish Chinese language immersion schools because we found that to be of value. The Asian Pacific Culture Center is not merely just an ethnic-specific center for Asian-looking people to convene, but it is intended to be a resource for all Minnesotans and Minnesota businesses who seek to increasingly do business all over Asia. So, Mr. Chair and members, while I am of Asian American descent and I'm very proud to be the chief author of this bill, I am more proud to be a Minnesotan and to establish a center where all Minnesotans can come to experience it as a resource. I have with me today...
Don't forget it was going to be in the Hams Brewery, too.
Well, I knew that that was persuasive for you, Mr. Chair, but I didn't know how many votes I would lose if I had made that point on the committee. So I have with me today Mr. Sana Sato to talk more about the project.
Welcome. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of for your support of the Asian Pacific Cultural Center, and thank you very much for coming out last, during the middle of the winter. It was ice cold in the Hams Brewery, as we remember. For the record, my name is Sana Sato. I am a former chair of the board as well as the current chair of the Capital Campaign Committee. APCC has seen great deal of support from members here as well as legislator, and we thank you for that. In addressing what in the past the legislature has appropriated $400,000 in pre-design and planning, and with that money we're able to go forward and move forward with much of the renovation or restoration that's taking place in the Hams Brewery, but we have a lot more work to do. You have a letter from the City of St. Paul outlining what has been done to date. But even with that, the time is kind of running out for the Hams Brewery building. The roof leaks, and as a result, it's slowly corroding the foundation of the building. And we need to move quickly. Briefly, APCC is envisioned to be a national model for social enterprise. We are receiving inquiry from state of Texas policymakers who are looking to build something similar. And believe it or not, despite the fact that APCC is on the planning stages, it is getting nationwide attention. And the reason behind that is very clear, as Senator Meemore stated. It has significant statewide impact, economically, socially, and culturally. And from a business point of view, we have heard a number of executives tell us that we can attract great talents from everywhere, but we have difficulty retaining them, not because of the professionals themselves, but because of their families. They don't see that, what's in it for them. And also, as Senator Meemore stated, we have 25,000 adoptees from Asia, and plus their families throughout the state. It is not just, they're not just here in Twin Cities. They are truly throughout the state. And they need a place like APCC as well as businesses and educators. Because APCC, once it's built, 65,000 feet of classrooms, office space, theater, rehearsal spaces, banquet space will become a destination place. And we foresee that there will be about $100,000 to $130,000 in visitor traffic during the course of the year. And as I've already mentioned, this is a uniquely Minnesota, but also with significant national attention. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Moi, it looks like the total project is about $17.5 million, and your bill's $9.75 million. And on line 1.9, it says this appropriation does not require a local match. Do you? I'm assuming there's going to be money from somewhere else since you're only asking for half the money from the bonding committee. Do you want that to say does require a local match?
Mr. Chair, I'll answer that question. This is a private-public partnership. We fully expect a third of the construction costs to come from the public and public organizations like the state and the federal government. We have received already $370,000 in federal grant for that purpose. And the remaining portion of the cost of construction will be through private foundations and corporations. And granted, because of the economic hardship and the decline in the marketplace, we have seen some of those commitments be scaled down or reallocated. But we still fully expect a third of the construction will come from private sources. And the remaining third, we will be able to utilize other historical, semi-historical credits and other alternative funding sources.
So do you want to have requires a local match then?
I guess the thought has been that we would rather not have the language requiring the local match. We know that we're going to move forward and we're going to be able to get the money for it. And I think there was also, well, I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Senator Pearson.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to ask, I'm looking at the letter from St. Paul right now, and the third bullet point down, it says deconstruction of the building has been completed. And I'm assuming you're not taking the whole building down, but you have some work that you've done on it. And though there is a mention there that the brewery tanks have been removed, and I'm not sure. What else does deconstruction mean?
Basically, as you stated, Senator, removal of old equipment and a lot of our wiring. Some of the senators probably do remember how dilapidated the interior of the building was, and it was really a matter of making it safe and removing anything that is not hazardous, like asbestos and so forth.
Mr. Chair and Senator Moi, you probably know that this is a site I'm well acquainted with.
Well, Senator Metzen.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I think this is a good idea.
It's a little nice side.
I don't want to climb those steps again. We were out there, and it was about 10 below, Mr. Chairman, and you were there.
It was cold. It was cold.
That was the easy part, the weather, but it was a 6-7 flights. We had to go up those goofy little steel steps to get up to the mountain. And, so let's pass this and get this. Then you might be able to pull in an elevator, right? Put an elevator with this money.
Okay. Senator Koch.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator. I do have some concern about not requiring any kind of a local match, Mr. Chair, and I'm just wondering if Mr. Jensen has some thoughts on is that how often do we do that with bonding bills? I noticed with maybe the next one that Senator Phoebe's got that there has to, that they have to determine that at least an equal amount has been committed from non-state sources. I mean, it's generally I thought language we had, but Mr. Jensen, can you?
Mr. Chairman, members, that's the usual and customary language to require a match.
Next question. It's
Ms. Chair, it's your and it's Senator Moi's bill, but I just have a little concern about it. That's all.
It's to me, it doesn't matter, but I don't know if requiring a local match would make it more palatable to the bonding committee or not. I don't know.
Well, Mr. Chair, members, the city.
You can think about that because
the city has already donated the building, and the city is going to own the. For the bonding purpose, the city is going to own the building, but the city, in essence, is donating the building to contributing that to part of the project. And I feel like what if the APCC can make a commitment to get the rest of the money in addition to the bonding money, this at least give my city some flexibility.
I'm personally not concerned because it looks like it's a $17 million project, and you only asking for half the money, but Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I not that I'm suggesting any language change here today, but maybe the author would look at the non-state sources language versus the local match language.
Okay. And I don't think we have to decide that. I don't think we have to decide it today in this committee because we've got some time on this. So if anybody else thinks differently, you can tell me. But
Mr. Chairman and members, for the match, we recognize a variety of contributions. So I think the land or the building would be part of that contribution.
Okay. Senator Olson? Okay. All right. Then any other comments? Senator Cohen will move that we leave Senate File 868 on the table for possible inclusion to the recommendation of the bonding committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion is adopted. Thank you.
Thank you,
very
Mr.
much.
Chair.
Senator Phoebe.
Mr. Chair.
Senator
I was going to ask Senator Metzen if when he played hockey, they had curves in their sticks.
No, they didn't.
They did when I played. He was a little older, but they didn't. I was a goaltender.
Is this a long story?
This is a very short story.
Okay.
I was a goaltender. They didn't require a mask until a year after I got out of high school. So that's the reason why somebody bounced off my head and why I'm a little. So there you go. And these guys are hockey players. They know what I'm talking about.
Any of you guys ever play without a mask over there? How many of you guys ever play without a mask?
Any goalies over there? No. It's required now.
Let me see all the hockey players in here. Stand up, all the hockey
Stand
players
up.
In here.
Huh?
I know.
Yeah. Any goalies? Who's the goalies?
Who are the smart ones?
Oh, hey!
Still got all his teeth, though.
First set, too. Mr. Chairman,
Senator Metzen.
This guy right here played for the Italian national hockey team.
1984 Olympics.
The Olympics. Olympics. I said national. It's Olympics, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, national team, same thing. Got two gold medals, too, you don't even know about. Anyway.
And he gets,
oh, yeah.
And he gets better every year that goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. The older I get, the better
I get. Give you both of them, right?
And Senator Metzen actually has records in the state tournament. So you guys, what are you, the eighth best goalie ever in the state tournament?
I'm not sure. I think it was 10th.
10th?
Excuse me?
Senator Phoebe, would you like to participate here?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I think this is about my bill today.
Well, but you need our cooperation.
I need your cooperation, and I thank you for inviting me here.
Here's how this works now. Here's how this works. I know you're new, but the chairman allows you to speak, and then you start, okay?
Okay. I knew this was going to be a tough crew, and this isn't my first, so I'm a veteran almost.
This is the first time in this committee, and just so you know, there is a custom and usage in this committee that when you present your first bill later on, you have to offer everybody a drink on the committee. So just
drink at the Hams Brewery or the. So okay, Mr. Chairperson, thank you for inviting me here today. This is on behalf of Senate File 1000, which I love the number of it.
Easy to remember.
Yes, I have not done this a lot, but I want to thank you for hearing this today, and I'm just thrilled that all the Big Lake Becker people are here to support this bill. And I think what was most important for me in getting involved in this, many of you know I've served on the Princeton School Board for 8 years, and the most impressive part of this effort was how everyone has been working together, and they've worked together for some time on this. They came to you last year, I believe, with regard to this, and it's truly been an effort of the county, the city, the townships, the school district, and individuals working together on behalf of the entire community. I grew up in a hockey family. I would have played hockey, but I'm old, and they didn't have girls hockey back then.
That's right.
Or I know I would have played hockey or rugby. Those were my two I really wanted to play, but girls didn't do that back then, so I played basketball. Like I said, this has been an amazing cooperative effort for me to watch and get involved in, and I'm here on behalf of the community. It's much more than just a slate of ice we're looking at. In Sherburne County, we only have one sheet of ice for all of our school districts in Sherburne County. So this is really something that's needed in the area. The area that they've destined to build this at is a great area that we we assume we'll see much economic development around there. It's not going to just be the sheet of ice. It's going to be a lot more economic development. I also think we need to get these kids off the road for hours every day, running to ice all over the state, ice time in different areas. So we need to support families in this. So with that, we have some people here to testify. I'm, again, just wanting to thank all the Big Lake Becker people for coming down in support of this. It's been an awesome project for me to get involved in. At first, I was not sure, but to see the support from all the entities, we've got the mayor here, has been very incredible, and that's why I'm here asking for your support of this bill. With that, I'm going to turn it over. We're going to start with Chris Staples. Giving a quick overview of the project, Mr. Chairperson.
Mr. Staples, thank you, and welcome to the committee. State your name for the record, and then go ahead with your presentation.
Right, Mr. Chairman, Senators, thank you. My name is Chris Stolpas, and I'm the president of the Becker Big Lake Ice Association.
Okay, so you're not Mr. Staples.
Not today.
common,
very common mistake. That's all right.
That's why we always say your name for the record, because we never know if we're going to get them right.
Oh,
okay,
good.
Go ahead.
All right, thank you. So the Becker Big Lake Ice Association is a nonprofit organization dedicated to building a regional ice arena in the Big Lake area. The Ice Association currently owns 5 acres of land on State Highway 10 in Big Lake. We are here today to request state funding for the Big Lake Regional Ice Arena. The ice arena is proposed to be a $3 million complex owned by the City of Big Lake and operated by the Becker Big Lake Ice Association. It will be used by local and regional organizations for hockey, figure skating, indoor civic and community events, craft and car shows, indoor soccer, lacrosse, the list goes on. The proposed site is right off of Highway 10. The outer rim there would be Highway 10 where you see the tree line. The project design is a single sheet ice arena with all the amenities you need for a facility.
Olympic size or regular size?
It'd be NHL size.
NHL, okay.
And currently we have support from all the local governments, the City of Big Lake, Big Lake Township, the school board, Orrock Township, and Sherburne County. Part of the financing is going to be $1.375 million, a city or county-sponsored bond, and to pay for that we'll use tax abatement and arena revenue. Other part of the financing will be $1.125 million via legacy grant, and that will be sponsored from the City of Big Lake and Orrock Township. And as you may have seen before, the legacy grant is used for recycled materials. And the final portion of the financing to make this whole would be the support of SF1000. The appropriation of funds for the Big Lake Regional Ice Arena ensures success of the financial plan. Here's an overall breakdown of how it would be funded. Our timeline with final approval of everything would be begin construction in June of this year, and then hopefully have doors open for the 2009-10 ice season starting in November. We had many reasons to support this facility. The Mighty Duck people here earlier really laid the groundwork on what needed to be said, but there are so many reasons facilities like this are needed throughout the region. Positive economic impact on Big Lake and regional commerce. In the short term, the arena construction will involve an estimated 41,000 work hours for a six-month time frame. The construction workers will utilize area restaurants, stores, businesses, gas stations, etc. The long term, the arena will continue to stimulate the local economy via hockey games, tournaments, and other events. Additionally, it will promote future commercial development in the community. In summary, this project benefits the local economy in the short and long term through job creation and utilization of local businesses. The arena provides much-needed ice for youth and high school hockey programs. I want to thank you for your time and consideration. And before we go to questions and answers, I'd like to introduce Tim Hayes, who is the chair of our school board.
Mr. Hayes, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senators. My name is Tim Hayes. I'm Chairman of Independent School District Number 727, School Board. Members, when the ICE Association came before us to ask for tax abatement, that was a real, to be honest with you, struggle for us. To give you a little perspective on the Big Lake School District, we serve between 3,600 and 3,700 students. If you look at our state aid and levy combined, out of the 337 districts in the state of Minnesota, we rank 333. So there's four that receive less funding than we do. But we felt that this was an important project. It's good for students. It's good for kids. And that's you know what school boards are supposed to do when they make their decisions. Not only do we see this as a benefit for a sports program, for hockey, although that is a primary purpose of it, and we are going to be one of the biggest customers there. But we also see that we have opportunities for FIAG classes. We currently partner with the local bowling alley, so we do bus students over for bowling. And I did not, even though I grew up in Minnesota, I did not grow up playing hockey. My son plays hockey, however, and I'm surprised to learn how much of a lifelong sport hockey really is. In fact, one of the gals was just telling me about a tournament up in International Falls where the oldest player is somewhere in his 70s for a tournament coming up. So it really is a lifelong thing that the community can benefit from. Another problem that we have is in regards to a job description that goes something like this. Wanted, hockey coach. Must love hockey, be able to work well with kids, understand the game. Hours, 11 o'clock at night to 1 in the morning. Just about every night of the week. And by the way, most Saturdays. As you can imagine, it's a part-time job, so you must keep your full-time employment besides.
And you must talk to the parents of the kids.
And that's the main one. Can be one of the, yeah, you're right. So you can imagine for an adult what that does. But I have here with me one of our varsity hockey players, Matt Green, that can tell you a little bit about how it affects the students.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senate. And Senate.
Say your name. Say your name and position.
I'm Matt Green. I'm a member of the Becker Big Lake varsity hockey team.
Your goalie?
No goalie. Defense.
Defense, all
put
right.
Put the goalie up there. Goalie.
Go ahead, Mr. Green.
Yeah, as Tim was saying, practice usually starts from 10:15, ends at 10:45. We usually don't get to bed until 1:30 in the morning, and we have to wake up at 6 and be at school at 7:30. It's very hard to stay awake at school, stay focused due to those hours. And most of the time, we'll come home after school and sleep, but that puts us in a position on game day when usually we're sleeping, it's time to play. And team usually comes off sluggish and not competitive. And I don't think we've ever had a winning season in our history.
No arena.
No. I was fortunate always to, because I've been playing for 6 years, I was always fortunate to be part of the Becker Big Lake Association. Because in years past, we've had to team up with Princeton and play under them, as our Bantams are now. That's pretty much it.
How many kids are in the program?
We have, Mr. Chairman, I'll answer that question. We have, through the Pee-wee level, we have 130-plus kids. We farm out our kids to Princeton for Bantams, and we have a co-op with this past season with Malacca and Becker and Big Lake for our high school program. Totaling probably right around 165 kids once you pull all those together.
They have girls.
Senator Metzen?
Do you have a girls team?
Currently, all our girls, Mr. Chair, Senator, currently all our girls are playing either in Elk River or Monticello or Princeton. We don't, except at the Mite level, we have enough numbers there to have girls skating with the boys. But once they move up to the squirt level or the Pee-wee level, they're playing on the U-10 or the U-12 teams with other organizations.
Maybe, Mr. Chairman, maybe the arena will get the girls going and have a place to go and place to play. And
most definitely. I mean, that's what we're looking at. We modeled ourselves after another organization, Sartell, who actually got the last Mighty Ducks grant, and how they operate their facility. And they were in a very similar position to where we're sitting right now as far as size and how they use their kids. And in less than 5 years, they more than doubled, and they have a high-quality program up there right now.
Senator Metzen?
Yeah, I think the biggest reason that I carried the Mighty Ducks bill about 10, 12 years ago, the biggest reason was because of the advent of girls playing hockey. And they were playing at 2, 3 in the morning, and you know, little kids are 11 at night, and it's been a huge success to attract the girls into the sport.
Sir.
And look at that hockey tournament with the girls. It's magnificent.
And Senator Fobey has time between 11 o'clock and 1 in the morning to coach also. So. Senator Olson, Senator Fobey.
Excuse me.
Senator Fobey, go ahead if you want to comment on that.
I was just going to say, Mr. Chairman, I have the mayor here at Big Lake, so she has a few comments.
Senator
to
Olson, do you want to comment now or do you want to wait?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. And is it Mr. Green?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, we hear bills in this committee. And we hear about some really good ideas, but then afterwards, a lot of times we never hear what happens. So if we could find the money for this bill, I just would really, it would be really fun to hear if you have a winning season after you get the new agreement.
Mayor, before we go to the mayor, Senator Fobey, did you have a couple of boys here today?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, my sons were here earlier, but they're from the Princeton area, and they needed to get back on the road. And actually, I've heard from one Princeton person about not supporting this because of how much they use the Princeton facility. So we're not going to bring up Princeton. But yes, my sons were here earlier. Many of you met them, so. But they're not here.
And now. Their last name is?
Fraboni.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
okay.
That's a range name. Yes.
Very range name, yes.
You're right. But, Mr. Chairman, this is about my bill, remember?
One more thing about your bill. Senator Vickerman's son and daughter-in-law are here also. So,
yes.
And you have kids here, too?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Which ones are? I said.
Where's Senator Vickerman's son?
And, Mr. Chairman, Senator Vickerman's wife.
Yeah. Oh, and his wife is here,
yes.
Too. Oh, well, there you go.
That's the most important.
Oh, that's the most important thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Senator Koch.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. My next question is this a project that if we did the Mighty Ducks dollars, is this a project that qualifies, or is that strictly for?
I think, if I understand this, the timing would be such that this probably wouldn't get Mighty Ducks money because the Mighty Ducks money would come
too
in
slow.
Too late.
Okay.
Okay. So it would probably have to happen before Mighty Ducks. So.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kubley.
Well, if they don't have a winning season in the next 10 years, does Senator Fobey has to repay the loan?
Absolutely. she's trying to get naming rights on the rink, too. So.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I might, our squirt level team this year went 18-1-1.
Ooh-hoo, all right.
So we have a lot of young kids in the program that are skating really well, but what happens is you get up and the parents get tired of the travel, and you see them slowly, exponentially, really, just drop out of the program.
Yeah. Mayor, you've been patient.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Senators. My name is Lori Campa, and I am the Mayor of Big Lake. I'm very pleased to be here in front of you today to ask for your support for this bill. Big Lake has been hit hard by the economic depression, and in the area where this land is now, we do have one restaurant and a brand new hotel, but I believe that this arena is a vital heartbeat to keeping that area alive as well as flourishing in the future. You know, during the construction, obviously, jobs will be created, but more importantly for our whole area will be the income generated by the arena for all of us. So, again, we thank you for your consideration today. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mayor. And this looks like it's going to be located near the North Star Commuter Rail also. Is that
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
How close is it?
It's right along the rail line, but the stop will probably be about a mile away.
Okay. All right.
Good language.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions from the committee? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually don't know what a legacy grant is.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
You mentioned the legacy grants. They have to do with recycled materials. What is that? I'm actually not familiar.
Well, the county sponsors a program for facilities that would be sponsored via local government, i.e. the city or a township, to materials that go into the construction that are either recycled materials or if you reuse materials from other projects and you reduce the amount of materials that subsequently do not go into, you know, landfills, the materials themselves will be paid for 100% with this grant.
Interesting.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, what's not to love? It's got transit compatibility. It's got the reuse of material.
They've done all.
Does it have, but does it have rhubarb?
They've done their homework.
Going along, does it have rhubarb?
Done their
and a winning sports team.
We have one more hockey player on the committee. Senator Sparks doesn't have any cuts or broken bones like Senator Metzen and I, so he's going to move this.
Look how pretty he's still.
Right.
Okay, so Senator Sparks moves that Senate File 1000 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the bonding bill. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted.
Thank you,
okay,
Mr.
Thank
Chair.
Thank you all very much. And good luck this season, or next season, I guess. This season's over, right?
Now, let's see, who's next?
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Is he here? There's
Vickerman's here now, the big guy.
Yeah. Senator Vickerman, here. Welcome.
Senator Scoy's here, too.
Senator Scoy, okay.
Nice delegation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chair. All this fun you're having today with hockey, this and that. And
you fit in?
Do I fit in?
Were you
a long time ago, not as far back as Senator Metzen, however.
Yeah.
You know, back then when they pick goalies, you know what they look for, don't they?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Sorry.
The one that couldn't skate.
That's right. Fat and can't skate. Is that what you wanted? This isn't going to be any fun here. This is about garbage, folks. This is not about hockey. So
Senator Brink,
we're going to change.
Wait 1 second. Let's
okay,
clear,
sure.
let them clear the room here, and then we can get you going. Okay, go ahead.
First of all, Mr. Chair and members, thank you so much for hearing Senate File 742. A little background, at least that I'm familiar with, coming from the area there. This is a collaborative that goes back a lot of years, actually, back to 1987 when the Pope Douglas County Commissioners got together on a collaborative to put together a waste-to-energy plan where they actually burn garbage and create energy. And the plant is actually situated in Douglas County. However, it's shared with, as it says, Pope Douglas. It's been a great collaborative. And with me today I have Executive Director Pete Olbscheid, who will in a couple of minutes, we'll give you the details on the bill today. And to his left is Polk County Commissioner Bob McCrory, who I think probably was around when that was originally put together, and worked with Bob. I've worked with Bob personally on a lot of different issues. And to my right, Douglas County Commissioner Dan Olson, who I've also worked with on many different initiatives. So today we're here talking about a $6 million appropriation. And again, the executive director can get into the particulars about it, but it's to expand on the existing solid waste facility in Douglas County. And I think with that, probably what I'll do, I think you have the numbers there. It's $6 million appropriation and the particulars on that. But I'll turn it over to Executive Director Pete Olmscheid to have him give his presentation, and we'll open it up for questions.
Mr. Olmscheid, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senators of the committee, Pope Douglas counties are growing to a point where a waste-to-energy facility
cannot... Mr. Olmscheid, just say your name for the record.
I'm sorry. My name is Pete Olmscheid, Executive Director of Pope Douglas Solid Waste Management. Pope and Douglas counties are growing to a point where the waste-to-energy facility cannot handle all of the waste of the two counties. For this reason, Pope Douglas Solid Waste Management is in the planning process to expand its waste-to-energy facility with the addition of a third waste combustor. The third waste combustor would satisfy the needs of Pope and Douglas counties until the year 2035. Our goal is to have the waste energy facility operational by year's end 2010 for several reasons. Pope Douglas Solid Waste Management will have outgrown its own capacity by the year 2015. 3M has completed a large expansion and needs more steam for their manufacturing process. Douglas County Hospital is expanding and requires additional steam. The Alexandria Technical College is interested in purchasing steam from Pope Douglas for their campus addition. And included in your packet are testimonial letters from these three facilities also. Tri-County Solid Waste, Stearns, Benton, and Sherburne counties currently have a waste hauling contract that runs out in 2009. Pope Douglas Solid Waste Management would be able to take Tri-County Solid Waste for 20 years after the addition of the third combustor. Stevens County would also like to bring their trash to Pope Douglas instead of landfilling. Pope Douglas Solid Waste Management would then go from serving a two-county area to serving a seven-county area, thus becoming a regional facility. Energy at Pope Douglas Solid Waste is produced in the form of steam and electricity. The steam is utilized by our current steam customers, 3M and the Douglas County Hospital. The Alexandria Technical College would also like to utilize steam from Pope Douglas. In addition to steam production, electricity is produced and is currently being used in-house. It is possible that after the expansion, Pope Douglas Solid Waste will have excess electricity to sell to the grid, as we are proposing to install an additional turbine generator with the expansion. All of the energy produced at Pope Douglas is considered green, renewable energy in Minnesota. The energy generated from trash will help Minnesota to fulfill the 25% renewable by the year 2025 commitment, and it also helps to curb the use of foreign oil by generating any energy from trash for our steam customers. 1 ton of trash has the same BTU content as 1 barrel of oil. Thus, we are reducing the foreign oil dependency. Waste to energy is a more environmentally safe way to dispose of trash, since there's less greenhouse gas produced in waste to energy than in landfilling. In addition, waste to energy is a cleaner way to produce electricity than from coal. Emissions from a waste to energy facility are lower than the emissions from a coal-fired power plant. Pope Douglas Solid Waste Management currently serves 52,757 Minnesotans in Pope Douglas and Grant counties. With the expansion, an additional 155,675 Minnesotans will have their solid waste needs met through the Pope Douglas Solid Waste Management facility. The combustion of municipal solid waste and renewable biomass in Minnesota provides clean, renewable energy to two current energy users, 3M and the Douglas County Hospital. The expansion will bring the Alexandria Technical College on board as a third energy user. 3M employs 250 people with good-paying industrial jobs. The Douglas County Hospital employs 610 people with good-paying health care jobs. The Alexandria Technical College employs 235 people in good-paying educational jobs. These three entities, along with the 40 employees of Pope Douglas Solid Waste, employ a total workforce of 1,135 people. These 1,135 sustainable jobs are in our community and related to the Pope Douglas Solid Waste Management Facility. Pope Douglas Solid Waste is confident this waste-to-energy expansion is a good plan. It will help to keep the solid waste infrastructure of the two counties strong for many years. In addition, the expansion will provide good solid waste infrastructure for the additional counties involved for 20 years. The expansion will also create new jobs, as Pope Douglas will need to add 10 new employees to operate the expansion, and 3M, with their expansion, will be adding 50 new employees. The total workforce that Pope Douglas supports currently is 1,135 taxpaying employees, with the expansion that will increase to 1,195. The cost for the expansion will be about $19.4 million. This will be a heavy burden for the taxpayers of the two counties, and with outside assistance, we are not sure if it will happen. Engineering for the project is underway as we speak and is nearing completion. This is a shovel-ready project. We are ready to start construction within the next couple of months. At this time, Mr. Chair, I would entertain a question.
You have to repeat that one line. No.
Repeat that one line?
That one line about we don't know if the project will happen if we don't get outside funding.
The cost for this expansion is $19.4 million. This will be a heavy burden for the taxpayers of the two counties, and with outside assistance.
So is this the outside assistance you're thinking about, the $6
million? $6 million,
okay.
That's correct.
Right. Okay, all right. Okay. All right, Senator Ingresso.
Mr. Chair, I think that leaves an equal amount, I think, in proportion to a population, I would guess here from mm-hmm. commissioners, of $13.4 million that will be supplied by the two counties. So
okay.
They're willing to
all right. okay.
step up and do that.
So there's a significant portion coming from the local people is what we're
yes,
talking about
right,
here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
The majority of funding would still come from the local citizens.
Okay. All right. Who wants to go next?
I believe that's it. Unless Commissioner, did you want to say a few words or anything?
No, you're both here and you made the trip. You might as well say something.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
See, it doesn't take long.
We greatly appreciate getting the hearing. It's kind of a nice committee.
Say your name so you know who.
Robert McCrory.
Okay.
It's fun to come to a committee that has a good time. Well, it has a few laughs and a few jabs, and that's good. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you're Dan?
I am Dan Olson, yes, commissioner from Douglas County. I've been on the board now for about four years. It's only 2 hours, so no. For about 4 years, or 5 years, actually. And the usage of this with 3M and the hospital, and we are expanding Douglas County Hospital at the time, which will be both heating and cooling with the steam. It would be a great service to our area if we can continue to keep the plant going. We're sitting uniquely where we are that we have these entities to sell the steam to, and to be able, with the growth of our area, to have the steam generated in that area is really a good thing, and we'd hope that we could have your committee help us generate
some
funding.
Are the steam lines there already? Where are they getting the steam from right now?
Mr. Chair, currently we have a steam line over to 3M and to the Douglas County Hospital, but because of 3M's expansion, we need to replace that steam line with a bigger one. The volume of steam they will be using is going to increase, and we will also be putting in the steam line over to the Alexandria Technical College at that time.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Ingebrigtsen. Do you know whether there's anything in the federal stimulus package that would be available to be used to help with part of your costs with this, or is that something anyone's looked into?
Mr. Chair, if I could divert that question to the executive director. You mentioned something about it before the meeting. There is some dollars there that could potentially be available.
Senator, have applied for some of the federal stimulus dollars through the Energy Department. It would be probably less than $1 million once it all got said and done. But there was going to be quite a few entities applying for a small amount of dollars that would be available.
Yeah, we're having a hard time figuring out exactly where all the money is, if you want to know the truth. So,
yeah.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I noticed that there will be electricity that's generated as well, and electricity going back to the grid. Who's the utility?
The utility in our area is the power supplier is Missouri River Energy.
Okay. So does I think Senate Council are they looking to count this towards their renewable goals set forth in state statute, and does refuse derived fuel qualify as a renewable source under the
currently in the state of Minnesota? Yes, it does qualify as, but over the nation is part of the being added as part of the federal renewable portfolio as we speak. We're working on that, and right now it is not considered in the federal, and since Missouri River is across state lines, they can use our portion of it for the state of Minnesota portion they need. But
I'm not sure that's actually true, Mr. Chair, that refuse-derived fuel is considered renewable for purposes of fulfilling the renewable goals. So
do we want to find out right now, or do you,
well,
doesn't look like,
I mean, I don't know if it matters. I mean, like it may or may not be.
Like we're getting a lot of cooperation.
I mean, I don't know that bears on the worthiness of this idea, but
okay.
It's just something maybe for Senator Ingebrigtsen to be aware of. I don't know if it'll be counted towards Missouri River's renewable obligations.
It'd certainly be easy enough to find out and get back to you, Senator, with that
information. I mean, that would be important for Missouri River to know. So.
Okay.
If they're going to do a power purchase agreement for excess energy that they're selling to the grid.
Mr. Chair, if I may add one thing about that, we do have a contract with Missouri River that they have first option on the green renewable credits that we would have available. So, yes, they are interested in looking for them.
Is this a hydro, Missouri? Is it hydropower? Is that what it is?
No, it is a steam turbine generator.
Okay.
We currently have one turbine generator that produces electricity that's used in-house. With the expansion, the engineering phase, we are planning on putting in a second larger turbine generator. And at that time,
I'm thinking of Missouri Energy. Are they hydro?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. I see how I put that together, Missouri yep. River and everything else.
This is a good group here.
Seen
I'll
that.
Tell you.
I've seen their team.
Mr. Chair, if I could add to this,
Senator Dewitt,
I think the bonding group was out there last year to visit. In fact, I participated in it myself. If you look at the geographics of it and the way it's set up, it's just a great working relationship in that all three of these entities. That could receive energy from here, all within a block or a half a block. So it just works out perfect.
That's pretty. It's pretty
and two
neat.
Of them are public, by the way. Douglas County Hospital is public, and of course Alec Tech College. So
okay. Any further questions or comments? Did you guys find out anything over here?
She's going to ask something. Senator Dibble, if he remembers work.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Well, we will. Well, Senator Dibble and Senator Ingebretson can work on that after the committee's sure. over. So we'll find out about that later. All right. Senator Parasol, then we'll move that this bill be laid over for possible inclusion and a recommendation to the bonding committee. Okay.
Am I moving it, you mean?
You are moving it.
Okay,
yeah.
So okay. moved, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Wait,
Chair.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the motion is adopted. Okay, thank you. Senator
Scoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're just moving it over.
Scoy is next.
Senator Scoy, I see you have nobody from far away, so that's why you ended up being last, you know.
That's fine, Mr. Chair. Chairman Visner is on the way, but they aren't going to get in here till later on tonight. I think the weather's a little tough up
there. How is it up there? Because I heard it's supposed to be bad.
Yeah, they now have the snow totals up between 10 or 20 inches, I've heard. So it's
already on the ground?
Mm-hmm. No, forecast.
Forecast.
To come.
Okay.
Wow. Yes.
I didn't find it. We did find it.
You want to publicly state it? Okay, here's the answer to your question.
Mr.
Senator
Chair and committee.
This is from the bill before.
Yes, I'm sorry. This is for the previous bill.
It's a full-service committee, so. We, right.
Actually, the citation is Chapter 216B.1691, and renewable energy objectives. It does include an energy recovery facility used to capture the heat value of mixed municipal solid waste or refuse-derived fuel from mixed municipal solid waste as a primary fuel. So it does include it.
Okay. Good to know. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm here with Senate
File 982.
Yes, number 982. This is a bill requesting bond proceeds for a renewable energy plant in White Earth. And I'm here with Mr. Haas, who's going to walk you through the details of the study that you have in front of you, Mr. Chairman. But I want to talk just a little bit about some of the benefits that we could achieve if this money is available to them to build this renewable energy plant. And the purpose of this plant is to pelletize cellulosic material to be burned for heat. And if they're able to get this accomplished, the goal is to make the White Earth Reservation energy independent from other outside fuel sources. But it would do a number of other things. It would provide a place for the slash and waste wood products from logging jobs to go, and it would also provide the start of the developing the infrastructure for prairie grasses and other switchgrass materials to be used eventually for cellulosic ethanol production. One of the things that Congressman Peterson has talked a lot about is when the technology finally does get completed with regard to how to do cellulosic ethanol from prairie grasses and switchgrasses and other cellulosic materials such as wood, the area that has developed the infrastructure and has the cellulosic material will have a great leg up on attracting a plant because the having the base material is going to be very important. So while we do have a facility that we're asking for that will be a great benefit to the area and will help them become energy independent and will provide a number of jobs and will provide a place for waste logging material to go, some of the slash from logging jobs, the overall, the one of the largest benefit is ones that's not directly there, and that is that we will be developing the infrastructure for building cellulosic or growing other cellulosic materials, and hopefully we would be able to, in the long run, attract a cellulosic ethanol plant. We have completed a study, and I'd like to turn this over to Mr. Haas to walk you through the White Earth Biofuel Feasibility Study.
Senator Scoy, there's a blank appropriation here. Do you want to put a number in?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The appropriation request is for $12 million.
Okay, Senator Olson moves that online. 1.6 after the dollar sign, insert $12 million. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Okay, Mr. Haas, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, my name is Bill Haas, and I represent the White Earth Band in northwestern Minnesota. Mr. Chair and members, White Earth's goal is to be good stewards of the earth and to provide opportunity for their members. And last year, the legislature helped us in one of those goals when we purchased a chemical dependency treatment facility in Bemidji. We returned 100 jobs that were lost in Bemidji in that facility, and I've heard some comments from the committee today about, you know, are there other sources of funding? We did put together a funding package from several different sources to make that happen. And as of February 1st, the facility opened, and by the end of this month, they will have roughly 30 children in there going through treatment. So we appreciate the help of the legislature, and we're back here today for another request to provide jobs and to be good stewards of the earth. 2 years ago, we received funding through Senator Vickerman's and Representative Junkie's committee to do a feasibility study on biofuels. The University of Minnesota has completed that study and has made several recommendations. One was the cellulose ethanol plant. Currently, the technology is not there. It's still 5 to 7 years out. There are some experimental plants going on right now, but it's very cost prohibitive to produce ethanol through cellulose. One of the things Senator Scoy did mention, out of the study, it said we would have to develop grasses that would be conducive to producing the ethanol from cellulosis. So that is one of the goals that we will be working on. Another biofuel that came up was synthetic gasoline, which we can produce, again, out of wood products or cellulosis products that are available up there. But that process is going to be expensive to start up, and we would need to have gasoline at about $2.50 a gallon at the pump in order to be a viable product there. But that technology is available, and we are furthering our pursuit in looking at that and how we can get started in that. The last recommendation they made is sustainable renewable biomass that we could use to make wood pellets and cellulose pellets that we could burn in wood stoves and wood furnaces in people's homes, and there is quite a demand out there for that. And the goal of White Earth, first of all, we would be creating new jobs on the reservation. We would be employing loggers to go out and log the material that we need. We will also be looking at farmers for grasslands. So we're providing opportunity in many different areas. The next step would be then to, after the plant is up, is we would be negotiating with a furnace manufacturer to buy a high quantity of, or large quantity of, pellet burning stoves that we would install in the homes on the reservation. So the White Earth members would be now burning wood pellets or cellulose pellets to heat their homes, no longer dependent on oil, propane, to do that. And we, as you know, with the people who live in the rural areas or who have lake homes, the fluctuation in fuel oil and propane over the last couple of years. It's very expensive, and in an area where it's economically challenged, it makes it even tougher. So we could actually heat all the homes with what we produce, because we, out of this plant, we produce 42,000 tons of pellets a year is what we could do, and that would be phase one of our plant. Phase two, which we would then be able to, once we get this operation up and running, would produce double that amount. And like I said, there is a market on it. Another recommendation from the study would be that we would convert the hotel and casino in Manoman to pellet furnace, and we would save roughly $375,000 a year in heating costs for that facility. So we're taking
grants directly
the byproducts of propane and fuel oil out of the air and replacing it with a cleaner fuel that is meets the guidelines and the goals of the next generation board. We're looking at an initial payroll on this plan of around $1 million a year, and it'll ramp up from there. The operation will run two shifts, 5 days a week, and they'll run a shift on Saturday and then do maintenance on Sunday. The ultimate design would run three shifts, 5 days a week, two on Saturday and maintenance on Sunday. So we're looking at $12 million initial cost to get the plant up and running. We'd be locating it somewhere near Waubun because we have a railroad spur, so we can ship right down to Detroit Lakes and get into the main line for our distribution. So it's we have everything we need, Mr. Chair and members, except for the money. And we are also pursuing other sources of funding, so hopefully as we get down the line, we would have other sources of funding that would reduce potentially any state liability, as we did with the treatment facility we started working on last year.
Senator Parasol.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Haas and Senator Skoy, now the pelletizing will only be of the wood, is that correct? I know that now there's a mix out there that people burn, because I know someone who burns it, they have an extra stove just for the space heating capacity of it, and they buy a pelletized and kernel corn mixed, which gives them some pretty good extra boost in their home. So, but this would then, you would still only pelletize the wood portion of this, right?
Mr. Chair. Yeah,
the rest of whatever you add to it would not be pelletized?
Senator Parasol, I think, and Mr. Haas can correct me, but I believe that the idea is they would be pelletizing wood during the logging time when there's slash available, and then during the other time they would be pelletizing the grass materials that they're...
Oh, and they would pelletize the grass as well.
Pelletize that also.
So, Mr. Chairman, would the grass be the leafy part of the grass, or is it root, or is it seed, or all of that?
Mr. Chair and Senator Parasol, it would be what would be cut off that's above the ground. The roots would stay in the ground, and that's how you achieve the carbon sinking benefits of the grasses.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, Senator Parasol, the university has recommended we cut it about a foot off the ground, but we would want to collect the seeds first, or else develop the technology in a combine that would cut and save the seed, because White Earth needs that seed stock to plant other prairies and other grasses so that we can build up the acreage that we're going to need to sustain the amount of volume that we're going to need to produce the pellets in that.
Sounds like a good plan.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Skoy. And I would just like to say White Earth isn't in my district. Obviously, it's in Senator Skoy's district, but having been White Earth has been an exceptionally good business partner for the community of Bemidji for the project that was authorized last year. Really very innovative when they see an opportunity. They've been out in front, kind of a leader when they see opportunities. And I think under Chairwoman Visner's and their tribal council's leadership, they usually get things done and make them happen. This seems very compatible with what I've heard Congressman Oberstar, or Congressman Peterson, I should say, talk about, too. And I think
this isn't just going to have a benefit for the people who live on White Earth. If they can get this going, I can see this being a real economic driver for our whole area, kind of patterning after what they're doing. So I would think this would be a great thing to support.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Olson, you're right. They have accomplished a lot. But the other thing to know about White Earth is its location for this early cellulosic stuff is perfect because it's got the deciduous forest coming up from the south. It's got the conifer forest in the north and the east and the plains to the west. So all this potential cellulosic materials kind of all meet right there where they are. So they can do experimenting and research on a wide variety of options and then utilize it in this plant. So it's located very well.
There's going big words, cellulosic, deciduous. I mean,
I had to write them down.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Senator Saxog.
Oh, okay, sorry.
You got to start learning those words because there's a lot of them up north. A lot of the cellulosic biofuel.
How about coniferous?
Coniferous. But my question was to Mr. Haas or Senator Scoy is, so we did the feasibility study. Did that include design?
Mr. Haas.
Design. Mr. Chair and Senator Saxog, it's a very simple plant. It's a steel building. Whole frame building, concrete floor, and then we move the equipment in.
Okay.
It's very, very simple process. It costs $12 million to do all that, but the process is very, very simple because all it is grinding the material down to a certain size, running it through a dryer, which then you use your pellets to heat the dryer, and then you compact it and put it in bags.
Was that a yes?
That's a yes.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Haas, then, when you say construct, furnish, and equip, I mean, all that stuff's already been manufactured. I mean, it's manufacturable. It isn't custom design in any.
Mr. Chair and Senator Saxog, no.
Okay.
It's all ready to go. We just have to go out and purchase.
Okay.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoy, did you have a comment on that?
Mr. Chair and Senator Saxog, you know, when we started out this project, we started out going for a cellulosic ethanol plant. But we kind of realized that we should find a process where we could actually utilize the cellulosic material, build something that we could sell and market while we build the infrastructure for the cellulosic material.
Senator Quigley.
Well, I did have a couple questions, Mr. Chair. I guess some, I know that this reservation is pretty good size at White Earth, but do they have 355,000 acres that they can dedicate to the growing of these prairie grasses, or will this provide some opportunity for people in the area, like Senator Olson mentioned, it would be beneficial? Of course, I don't think you were talking necessarily about that specific piece, but I just wondered if they have that much land base they can dedicate to the growing of those grasses, or if they're looking for growers apart from the reservation as well.
Mr. Chair and Senator Quigley, that 355,000 acres is for a cellulosic ethanol plant, which we're not looking at right now. But yes, we would have the area because we'd be utilizing the northwestern part of the state is where we'd be drawing our grasses from. So it's not just from the reservation, it's all the surrounding counties and any farmer who has marginal land who wants to plant the grasses that we would need, we would give them another cash crop.
Very good.
Okay. Council points out to me that we need to insert on, hang on a second, line 112, after the dollar sign, $12 million, just to match the $12 million up above. So Senator Olson moves to insert also, to amend her motion to insert on line 112, $12 million after the dollar sign. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, and Senator Scoy, where is this located exactly?
Mr. Chair, I believe that the proposed site is outside of Waubun. It's in Manoman County. It's on the White Earth Reservation.
Okay. All right. Senator Kulesh.
Mr. Chair, is there a Senator Scott, is there a market for these pallets yet? Or because I remember pallet plants being something in the past, but they weren't economically viable, if I remember right. So maybe I'm wrong on that. But
Mr. Chair and Charles. Senator Kulesh,
Kulesh,
yes, there's quite a market. Actually, an international market. Sweden right now is buying, coming to the United States and buying up all the pellets they can find, because that's all they heat with. And we have talked to other pellet plants here in Minnesota. In fact, one we talked to, and the fellow said he built his plant too small, and he can't keep up with the demand.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Saxhawk.
Well, I was just going to thank you, Mr. Chair, tell Senator Kulesh that I think some of the taconite plants, Mintax, using pellets, are they not, Mr.
They're
Chairman?
They're definitely using something in wood.
Yeah.
I know that. I'm not sure if it's pellets or if it's just the sawdust.
I think they can use anything.
Yeah,
Mr.
they dry
Chair.
It out. Yeah, they were bringing in a lot of trucks a day. I know that.
Yeah.
And I know they're not doing it anymore, but they have big numbers. So, Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and you know, members. I can't remember who presented to us in the Jobs Committee, but one of the energy independents, the way Minnesota has the best chance of becoming more energy independent is exactly this technology, where you pelletize materials that grow in the forest or you grow on cropland and use it for heat because it's cold in Minnesota.
Okay. Any further comments? Okay. Seeing none. Senator Olson, then we'll. Senator Dibble? Sorry.
I was going to ask Senator Scoy, so if we're growing grass on the marginal land, is that productive or unproductive?
You know, Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, I don't know, but it'll be a green pasture.
Yeah. Not germane.
Well, is a green pasture then a green acre?
As long as it's not followed by a walk through the valley of death.
All right, Senator Olson will move that Senate file number 982 be laid over for possible inclusion in the recommendation to the bonding committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion to adopt it. Okay, thank you all very much.
Members.
Ms. Bach, what's our next committee's
Mr.
look like?
Mr. Chair and members, on Wednesday we're going to hear more bills. And next Monday on the 16th, we're going to take the Jobs Eve tour to Senator Ortman's district. So if you could please let me know if you're attending so I can get a count for bus and dinner.
I think so.
It'll be a very interesting tour also. So.
On
okay.
What day would that be?
It'll
Monday
be
the 16th.
Monday the 16th. So
the first day of next week?
First day of next week. Meeting adjourned.
First day of the following week?